All right, you ready to play? Ready to start?
Yep. 3, 2, 1, dude.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show! All right,
that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
It's a pizza.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
So he got her pregnant, huh?
Big O! Showtime!
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Limousine Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the show, link, go to recordtlnts.org. And the IC channel is a linuxlink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Yeah!
Welcome to episode 831 of the Lansing Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Halloween season, baby.
We got Alan.
Hello, hello.
We got Joel.
Welcome.
Welcome. We got Flying Rich.
Went to Georgia to make Pat happy.
And we have Joe.
Hello again.
And so before the show, you were talking about the Osmo.
Yes, the pocket different Osmos. Yes, the Pocket Osmo, the Osmo 2, which...
There's an Osmo 3.
Three of us have in the Osmo 3.
Yeah, see, does anybody have the 3? Because I got the 2.
I do not.
So the 2, the only bad thing about the 2 is the gyros get thrown off with gunfire. It kind of stuns it a little bit. And...
Sorry, that's just funny.
Jerry Micklick was shooting full auto, and one of the casings hit the camera, you know, the cell phone, when I was shooting, and it, like, totally threw the gyros off. And that video will be posted tomorrow.
So, really, and the main difference between the Osmo Mobile 2, and both the Osmo Mobile, and I have to make sure we include mobile in that, because both of those require your phone or a phone to be put in a clamp. And that's what it uses for the camera. The big difference between the 2 and the 3 is that the 3 actually folds down a lot smaller than the 2 does. I believe everything else is the same. It has a lot of the same features between the 2.
I just looked at $119. Definitely, if you want to use your phone and you like the optics on your phone and all of that bit, go with that. But I saw a guy this weekend, and he had the Pocket, and he said he's loving it.
And that's kind of where I'm going.
It is a very nice camera. It takes nice pictures. You know,
I know they had issues with the audio quality. I'll tell you what I don't like about the Pocket is it doesn't have a quarter 20. You got to pay some tax, and then you can get a base that kind of friction fits on, and then you get a quarter 20 base.
The base is missing flat,
so it won't sit there. In the
so it doesn't have a tripod mount. Okay.
Yeah, there's no quarter 20 tripod mount.
Doesn't have the tripod, and if you want to put an external microphone on it, you will have to buy
the adapter.
Right,
that's what I was going to say. The external microphone. So look at a couple of videos on this, on, you know, people's vlogging setup for the Osmo 2. Because the onboard mic is kind of crappy. Now, is it better than my Note 4 phone? I have no idea.
That's a good question, yeah. See, and that actually... That's a really good point. Plus, if I went with the Osmo Mobile 3, it kind of gets me kind of a little bit of what I want between it and the Pocket, because my biggest issue is when I travel in my normal backpack I use for travel, I have my laptop in there, I may have an iPad or my Surface with me in the same bag, and I want to put my drone in there as well as my gimbal. That's a lot to put in your bag. So, if I can shrink something like the gimbal, that would be great. And actually, the gimbal is cheaper than the Pocket. But the Pocket is just impossibly small. So the only question I have, well, it wouldn't be that difficult if you had like your phone recording audio or video at the same time as the Pocket gimbal. But then the Pocket, you said it doesn't have a quarter inch adapter. Although I'll probably engineer something with a 3D printer to make that happen.
Yeah, I think there's a whole lot of stuff on Thingiverse for the Osmo 3. But If they did something, I hate to say that that's pretty lame. The Osmo, Osmo 3, I said. The Osmo Pocket, I meant to say. I believe the Osmo 3 also has a quarter 20 jack. The Osmo 2, the Osmo 1 has quarter 20 jacks. It seems to me they lamed out and they wanted you to pay extra money. Right. Like they got you out the door with the electronics, but you're going to have to pay $20 if you want a quarter 20 adapter on the bottom of that.
Now,
you got to buy an adapter for you know anything else. And it's really...
I was going to say, the other thing... Go ahead, Nat.
I don't know. I think a lot of it is just when, you know, it's designed for just something to be, you know, pull out of your pocket and take your picture and then go and do something with it later. When you start talking about adding, you know, microphones and quarter 20s and stuff like that, that to it, you're then looking at, you know, a replacement for like a, you know, if you're doing a, you know, video cast or something like that.
Right.
And you're looking at it, you know, you're trying to cheap out on a camera, and it'll do those fine. I've listened to this. The sound is not bad to me.
I'm not trying to cheap out on it, but I would like a little bit of expandability features, like the Osmo 2, Osmo 3.
Right.
Like I can now.
Those expandabilities are all in your phone, though.
Right. Well, yeah. Right. And I was going to say that's the key too. If your phone can't, like for example, my phone has a USB-C only, doesn't have a quarter inch, eighth inch jack on the bottom of it for an external microphone. Now, the one difference is that you can also get Bluetooth microphones to use with it too. I'm not 100% sure if the software will use it now. That's also another bit that changes when you switch between Osmo Mobile 2 to either the Pocket or the Osmo Mobile 3. You switch the application from DJI Go to DJI Mimo, M-I-M-O.
Yeah, so it's a different app.
It's a different app, and it's actually an app that also has it's basically also an editor as well. The other app, the DJI Go, is strictly a camera app. So, and the other thing too, and I've done this from time to time, you don't have to use DJI Go necessarily when you're doing the recording. You can use the built-in app on the application, but the regular camera app for my Note 10 Plus, you can use that. The downside is you can't use the button on board to start the recording or start the or to take a picture, you know. So that's only really the only downside I see between using the built-in regular app and the other one, because you have to tap your screen, or actually, in my case, I can just take the stylus out, and I can use the stylus to trigger the shutter when I'm using it on the Osmo Mobile 2. If I'm using the standard camera app instead of DJI Go, if I wanted to do that, 9 times out of 10 I don't. I just use the Go. So, but it's all interesting stuff to think of.
Yeah, you rattle on about this stuff like everybody knows what the fuck you're talking about, you know? Like, I when you started talking, I had to go look up what this was, and I'm like, well, holy shit, $300 on, you know, for
the Pocket, yeah.
And then, like, the Osmo Mobile 3 is, like, $120. It's $120. Yep. So the big difference, I guess, between the two is the Pocket is in itself a camera.
It's a camera
to record with.
It's the whole package in one little thing.
Right, and so the mobile one uses your phone, your camera on your phone, correct? So when I look at this,
yeah, all mobiles, mobile 1, 2, and 3 use your phone.
Right. So when I look at this, the pictures on their website, like, how does this connect on your phone? Like, what is it?
Horrifically.
Because I don't see...
It's a clamp.
I see how it connects on the phone, but I mean, like, how does it connect and use the phone? Like, does it connect into Bluetooth. The USB port some way? Oh, it's Bluetooth.
It's Bluetooth.
So you're talking about the Osmo 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, it's Bluetooth.
The mobile 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So don't get me started with Bluetooth.
I will say this. You know, when you talk about Bluetooth, the Note 10... Plus is fantastic with Bluetooth. If I'm listening, like if I'm at the gym and I'm listening to something as I'm walking out to the gym to the car, and I hop in the car and I start the car up, and I'm still listening, and then I hit the button on my dash to switch to connect the phone to the Bluetooth, it technically will still play in both. It'll play in my headphones and on the car at the same time. Then I can just disconnect my headphones and just keep on listening in the car, which is flipping awesome, because you can have up to two devices connected, spitting out Bluetooth audio, which is just, it's phenomenal. It's so much better than my Pixel 2.
You know, before I go touching on any of those topics, I will say this. I remember a time when you would go to a website in a browser and it would just show you the URL up there. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like looking at Firefox. I'm like, whoa, how come half the screen is taken up by icons and like another whole name of the thing at the site I'm on? And I'm like, well, it's, I can click on a button for site information. It tells me tracking attempts have been blocked. It has a little thing that says it's blocked notifications for this website. It's blocked autoplay media for this website. And it's verified website and what it's verified for. I'm like, holy crap, there's just so much. Like in, what is that called? What was the window for the URL where you put the URL in? I can't remember what it's called now.
Address bar,
yeah. There's so much in that address bar now. And then on the other side, you got a bunch of things. But, you know, good on Firefox. I applaud them. Now, so Bluetooth, Joel. Like, here's my problem with Bluetooth, right? When it works, man, it's awesome. And when it doesn't, you just want to put your face through a window.
All right, so my problem is I got the Osmo 2, and I've got to turn the Bluetooth off on my Note 8 so it connects to my Note 4. Which
so basically you just need to remove it from the other one.
Yeah, I guess I could, but I use it on both.
It's kind of the same problem I have with them.
You can't choose then, right? So you gotta remove it from the one to put it on the other. So once you shut that off, and if it's paired with the other one, what happens if you turn the old one on?
Does
it still? You should find that out. See, now, Joe, you might appreciate this, right? Because weren't you talking up the Ford Fusion a little while ago?
I wasn't, but did you buy one?
No, I didn't buy one. But I thought you said you
forgot.
I thought you rented one.
There were all sorts of problems with that.
I have not rented a Fusion, no.
Oh, I thought you did. Because when we rented a car last week, it was a Ford Fusion. Is what we ended up getting. And it was, I think it was either 2018 or 2019. So it was like really, it was pretty much brand new. It didn't have an audio jack on it. In there anymore.
Only like, Bluetooth.
Yeah, it was just strictly Bluetooth, which the Insignia has Bluetooth capability on it. Not the Insignia. What the hell is it, the device I have? The Sulker. Whatever. Yeah, it's an Insignia, I think it is. And I was like, oh, this would be fine. No problem. It connects with Bluetooth headphones, right? They say it's got Bluetooth.
Didn't work, did it?
Not at all. I like, it would come up, and it does this thing, like, it comes up, and it says on the display of the Ford Fusion, it's like this device, which is like this crazy long thing of weird alphanumeric characters, doesn't look like anything. I was like, verify that this device has that passcode on it. I couldn't see a damn passcode on the
the media player didn't know what to do.
So I would click the button and say pair it, and it would say paired. And then it would automatically disconnect. Like, it would not stay... It wouldn't work at all. Like, I tried so many different things, it just would not work. Like, it would say pairing, and then it would... I don't know... Like, why? This is 2019! This device is, like, less than a year old. Why can't they get Bluetooth right? Like, what? It's been around for how long?
I think it's because there's different kinds of it.
It shouldn't be that way, yeah. Alan. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Oh,
in order for you to get media onto your car, the device has to support
you need
A2DP.
Security. You don't want to hear somebody else's audio on your car. That has to be secure.
But there should be a better way to... Now, the phone, on the other hand, like, I was like, I'm going to have to download what I want to listen to onto the phone, right? And the phone would connect with Bluetooth, absolutely no problem. In fact, it was no problem that it eventually became a problem. Because every time I'd start the car, it would automatically connect to my phone and then start playing whatever audio I had on there that I had paused before. Like,
which is what most people want.
I didn't want that. Like, I paused it. I stopped it. It wasn't playing. It would just automatically bring it up, even when the application wasn't in the front forefront. It was in the back, paused. I had it stop, whatever. It would bring it up and start playing exactly where I left off. Bravo! But... Oh, it was pain. And the other thing that would bother me about the damn car is you would shut the car off, right? But it wouldn't shut off. Like, the engine would stop and everything, but the lights would still be on, the radio would still be playing. It would look like the car is still running.
Until you open the door.
Yeah, and then when you open the door, everything shut off. I do not like that. Like, when I shut the car off, I want it to shut off.
Wait till you get a hybrid.
We'll see that. And then that auto stick crap? No way!
I'm convinced most cars don't shut.
What's that, Alan?
Most cars. I'm convinced most cars don't actually shut off even after you leave the car. They go through a shutdown cycle. Because there's every once in a while in the Subaru, it has all that shit too, and every once in a while the phone will not connect. And your normal thing to do that is, okay, well, I'll just shut everything off, restart everything, and it won't do that unless I've actually leave the car shut off for like a minute or two.
Or open a door too.
Even if you open the door, I still think that the electronics are going through a shutdown. Oh, because it's a computer now, so I think there's actually like a shutdown that it's going through. It's all in the background that you don't see.
The auto stop stuff annoys me. Like when you're sitting at a light and it goes off.
What's auto stop?
Whenever you hit like I have driven a Equinox, Chevy Equinox. I rented one of those during one of my trips, and whenever you hit a stoplight, it would actually shut the engine off, and then it wouldn't start the engine until you lift your foot off the brake, and then once you lift your foot off the brake, it would start the engine back up. And
was that a hybrid?
No.
A lot of newer cars are doing that.
Yeah, which is annoying because it doesn't run the air conditioning compressor.
Now you can, true. But you can actually disable that, although good luck finding it in the infotainment system. But
some cars actually have it on the steering wheel.
I don't think this has auto
where it belongs.
So this didn't have auto start, but what I was talking about wasn't auto start. It was auto stick or auto shift. What is it they call? It was the S button on the damn dial. Huh?
You mean automatic? Was it an automatic transmission or a manual?
No. It was.
Did you have flappy paddles? What did you have?
It was a dial. It was not this.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? The little.
Not the gear shift.
Just had a knobby.
It's just a little dial that you turn from park to reverse to neutral to drive, and in the center was a button that was an S.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell is this? Do I had to look it up because I couldn't find the manual. So it's the auto shift or the auto stick, whatever they call it, like that you put it.
I've never
in
heard
kind
it called
like,
auto stick before, but okay.
It's automatic. It's so you have an automatic, but then you can switch it over to, you know, to be more like a manual. But they don't have a stick shift. It's paddles on the steering wheel.
Like, oh, right. Floppy paddle shifting.
Yeah, it's like one. So it's like. There's a plus and a minus, and then it says, well, you know, even if you do have it on manual, it might automatically shift it for you to be the most optimal driving condition.
It will.
And not,
well,
and
actually,
not damage the car.
I was going to say, it's mostly with not damaging the car, but for years, Chevrolet, even in their full manuals, would skip, like when you went to shift from first to second, a lot of times it would skip you to third. On purpose.
Yeah, it's just to save even the motor from over revving, because so many people don't drive autos anymore or manuals. Yep. They don't know about when to properly shift.
But then correct. I'm like, why even bother having this? Like, such a dumb. It's stupid.
I will say 90% of your supercars now, whether Lambo, Ferrari, Porsche, doesn't matter. Most of them are double clutch transmissions, and they have the paddle shifters. They don't have the strain gated shifters like they used to have anymore.
It seems like a way. Like, I don't even know. Like, what is really the advantage of that? I mean, yeah, a little. I guess maybe a little more. Like, I like manual. I love. That's what I drive all the time, right?
A little more control into when it shifts. That's all.
It's just so pointless. It seems so ridiculous. Like, I didn't use it. I'm like, this is stupid. It's almost as bad as the knob. I hate the knob.
Yep, just turn the knob and like put it in knob. Automatic. Like, put it in drive.
I'm like, I have nothing to hold on to. There's no stick shift anymore. There's no, like, it's like, I don't like
Dan, it. Yeah. Dan needs an armrest.
Yeah. I don't like
buy, I wouldn't buy a car without an armrest, but.
Yeah, I know,
you know
right?
What I don't like? I don't like it when they don't have, like, the handle on the driver's side. Like, that little handle that you can pull down and just hold on to, or hang your, like, if it's in the back or something, sometimes people hang their clothes off of it or whatever. Like, our Kia does not have one. It has it on the passenger side and it has it in the back seats, but not on the driver's. Like, that's the, why? Why would you not do that? I hold on to that.
Because Dan's an old man and he needs to hold on to it when he's getting out of the car.
I need to have that's one hand holding on to that wheel. And the other hand holding on to the stick shift. Right? That's
you,
what I
you
need.
You got a steering wheel to get out of the car.
That's what my knees are for.
No, wait. You actually hold on to the handle when you're driving. Yeah, that's where you put your left hand, right?
What, hold on to what handle?
The little handle that's hanging from the ceiling. That's where you put your hand when you drive, right?
Well, it's like I like to hold on to that, you know?
Wait, and are you telling me you guys don't have... hats? You don't have wraparound racing seats in your car with 5-point harnesses?
No, I don't do that. Is that on your pickup truck?
Isn't that stock?
Yeah, that isn't stock on every car.
No, my car.
No car in the United States has that stock. Actually, it's not legal.
There was an Oldsmobile 442 that did. But it was only 4-point harnesses.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That's like one of the things I mentioned. I wrote this dash cam review. And dash cams is like, to me, feels a lot like the old third brake light was back in the late 80s, early 90s.
1986 is when it started.
That's correct. And right now, the dash cams are kind of like that, in that if your car doesn't have one, you can go buy one. It's one of those things I think eventually all cars are going to have.
I hope not.
For insurance.
They'll never let me drive again.
All cars sold now. New have backup cameras. Every single one of them does.
Right.
I'll say what the backup camera on the Ford Focus was phenomenal. I mean,
I want backup cameras.
I'm like, I look at that and I'm like, why don't I use? Like, I was hesitant to use a backup camera, but it was one of those cool things where it had that like very wide view. So if you pull out and you know that big long van is aside for you, you can't see what's coming. Like, you pull out just enough for the camera to see, and it shows you the whole picture, and you're like, hot damn, I can see what's coming and going.
Even better, Dan, are the ones that some of the cars, like, I know the new 2019 and above Traverse, actually 2018 and above Traverse, they have cameras all around it, and they can show you a approximation of your car from overhead, and you can see all around the car.
And, like, they'll impose that on a map.
Yep.
And then they have your picture right in the middle with your smiling face while you're driving.
Yes.
with a jolly on it.
And you see, like, your social security number going, scrolling by, and then your credit card numbers and stuff at the bottom. Right. Like, the marquee.
Well, I'll tell you what I like about my wife's car is backup camera. You know, I threw that in the truck. You know, I just upgraded the radio, and I threw a backup camera in. It's a 2007 truck. But my wife's car has a crossing indicator. So if people or cars are coming and you can't even see them, it detects the crossing and it lets you know.
It does like a beeping or something?
Mine does that too. Yep.
It does like a beeping?
Yep, yeah, mine will squawk.
Yeah, because
mine will squawk and put an arrow on the screen to show you which direction it's coming from.
Yeah, and if it noticed, like I see that too, it would do that. But also if like you started to drift too close to another car or something while you were driving, so it would like beep also and alert you.
Yep, the lane keeping assist. Mine has that too.
So mine turns you back into the lane.
Well, it actually does that.
Yeah.
What car do you have, Alan?
Subaru Outback.
Oh, okay. So if you go to comma.ai, George Hott, or as he's known as GeoHot, he is selling a $600 device for certain vehicles. You basically have to have adaptive cruise control and lane stability where it'll steer for you. And you can get the $600 device, plug it in, and it'll do a lot of self-driving for you.
Interesting.
I have adaptive cruise control. I love that.
I don't either.
I love mine. It is so nice in traffic. I just set it and just sit there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I've got the worst of all cars for driving in traffic. A freaking 6-speed manual sports car. It's awful. And even on the 2-hour drive from Orlando to Jupiter, if I had something that did lane stability, I'd be crazy excited. Or something a step above lane stability and adaptive cruise control, that would be fantastic.
Mine will auto brake in certain situations, like when the front forward collision's going off and you're just a little bit too close, it will auto brake you. It will not steer you back in and out of a lane. It will not, do any of that kind of stuff. But it does, like, if you
It's the base model.
Yeah, well, it's also an old design too. It's the year before they switched the design out, so the 2019 and 2018s have all that. So, and that also started on the Equinox. So, and that's the other thing too. You have to get, I think on most of those, you have to get at least the LT trim level to get a lot of that stuff. Which I wouldn't buy a car that was below LT.
And I gotta tell you, so we have, my wife has the 2017 Sonata Hybrid. I think it's the Limited. I think there's two models. And the base model, like if you don't get the top of the line model, they just shame you. They dashboard shame you in the worst way. It's like the Nokia brick is your radio if you get the, don't go for the extra high-end model. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? Really? This is... You couldn't just give me, you could get an Android head unit for $200 and a double DIN Android head unit for $200 that does sorts of crazy stuff.
I think
like a Nokia brick looking display.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think the MyLink, pretty much in every Chevy has Android Auto on it now. Wasn't always that way. But I think everyone does now. I have to ask my nephew. He just bought a 2020 Chevy Spark. I don't know how a kid working at Walmart can afford a Spark, but okay. I have to ask him what he's got in it yet, because I don't know what happened. He had a Cobalt, which was the precursor to the Chevy Cruze, and he traded in it. I think he traded. Well, he probably had to trade it in, but. But anyway, I think he's also worked out a deal where I think he actually puts the insurance on my dad's plan. So my dad's probably paying higher car insurance. I don't know. But I'll get a chance to look at that when I go down at Christmas to see what they did in their little car. But I don't know. One of these days, I'm going to get me a pickup. I want a pickup at some point.
Go full redneck?
Yep. Actually, I'd really like the Jeep Gladiator.
You got to grow the beard out, man. do you know how tactic uncool I am? Because I don't have the beard and the mustache. I got to grow the
tactic. Or hair.
Or hair. The hair. So, I got the hair. It's just in my nose and ears. It's just not on the top of my head.
it tends to move if you're not careful.
Uh-huh. It's migrated to my back,
Yeah, every 2 weeks you gotta trim the nose hairs.
2 weeks? You get away with 2 weeks? Gosh, it's like every 3 days for me, otherwise I have to braid it. Can the title of this episode be Braided Nose Hairs?
Or Crazy Bluetooth Crap that Dan doesn't want to deal with.
So, who watches my YouTube channel? I need to know.
Joe does.
No one.
Dylan.
So if you go to flyingrich.com, you can see my YouTube channel. I went to the Iraq veteran shoot this past weekend, and I had all of the famous YouTubers leave a message for Pat. Because I invited Pat to go with me.
I didn't watch it, but I saw that you posted it.
So all of the famous gun YouTubers are saying, Pat, wish you were here. We're having a good time.
So they were like, who the fuck's this Pat guy, right?
There you go.
You know what? Everybody was so cool. It was so much fun. Had a great time.
Who's this bald guy here bothering us, asking us to say hi to this Pat guy?
Yeah. That was kind of how they're like, all right, I got the $5 you gave me. That's all I'm saying. And I'm like, all right, fine. Thanks. It was worth $5. See you later. Now, everybody was super nice. Everybody, all gun guys are super nice. That's just how it is.
That's because they don't want to piss off the other gun guy that will pull their gun out and shoot him.
What's better than going to an event where you can shoot machine guns and don't have to pay for the ammo?
Nothing.
The military?
Really.
Yeah. I don't have to sign up for a bunch of years either.
Or eat MREs.
Yeah, we had good food. We Bear Creek Cattle Company was there.
Dance.
Who's beating a cat
stuff
with a pot?
No, the cat's over here wanting to get pet and knocking stuff over.
Forget that was that tripod?
No, that was my water bottle.
No, but is the cat, was that the tripod cat?
Yeah, you know, actually it is. You know, tripod.
Tripod kitty.
She like, you can't even tell her leg was bum at one point. I mean, she uses it just
really?
Like the other one. Gets around.
Oh, good.
Rolls her fat butt all over the place. One happy cat. I'm glad we didn't get it removed.
Yep.
These vets, they must think you have a gold mine of money.
Yeah, so it was either... It was like we had the choice. Get it removed or surgery or do nothing. And we didn't do anything and it healed itself. You know, as best as it could.
Wow. Good deal.
Yep, that's where me and the wife were talking about my father-in-law, who's married.
You're not going to pay your father-in-law's vet bill to get him fixed?
No, he's already done that. No, he married a third time, 8-9 months ago now? And I was just thinking, I said, you know what, it's probably good that he married someone, because at least now somebody's there that if he... Like 2 years ago now, he was outside and it was icy out. He hit a patch of ice, went down like a bag of bricks, and cracked 2 vertebrae.
Wait, who are we talking about?
My father-in-law.
Oh.
And he laid there in the parking lot where he lives for a half an hour and couldn't get up. All right.
And nobody saw him?
I'm still trying to figure that one out. And it's been 2 years. But yeah, it was one of those deals where my wife and her sister were just having a freak out because he basically managed to get himself in the house and crawl in the bed, and he stayed in bed for 2 days. And I mean, he managed to figure out a way to take care of bathroom things, you know. But then one day my wife's practically in tears, and I'm sitting here working. I said, you know what? I am my boss and said, I got to take care of this thing. And I went over there and we got my father-in-law to the hospital. Because I looked at him and I said, Joe, either you call them or I will. I'm going to get them here and get you some help because I'm not going to do what we did with my mom. So, but now he's married and I don't have to worry about that anymore. Unless they both fall. But, you know.
Just get them ice skates.
Third wife, I can't imagine.
Dude, I'm doing it once, and that's it.
Absolutely correct. Me too.
And I'm just, if I get divorced, I'm just going to marry a guy with a lot of guns.
So your wife would turn you gay?
Damn right.
Now, to get back to the...
Anyway. Yeah.
Osmo a second.
That's a reach back.
Yeah, wow. That's a reach around for you. But
and our segue tonight is
the Osmo.
The segue. Wait,
I but get like I see somewhat the advantage of the Osmo Mobile, but is it really like worth another $120 on? Why not just take the film with your phone?
Well, so all right, the phone is like a real pain in the ass to set up. So if I got to pull it out of my pocket. Or so here's the other thing. You got to have like a mini tripod with the Osmo 1, 2, and 3. So then you can put it down. But if right. you don't have a mini tripod with it, then you got to hold it all the time or store it in your backpack. And if you're going to pull it out of your backpack next time you're going to use it, then you got to power it up. You got to power the phone up. You got to start the app. You got to sync them together on Bluetooth. Then it's ready to go. It takes so much effing time. Hold on a second.
Are you talking about the Osmo Pocket or the Osmo Mobile or both?
No, the Pocket. You just pull out of your pocket, turn on.
That's the exact reason I bought the Pocket.
That's what I mean. Like the Pocket. Like I kind of get the Pocket. It's like a, like I guess like a GoPro or
it's
something
else.
It's
just a camera.
Yeah, it's a camera. I get it. But you know it's kind of like $300. And
now,
it's great. But why the mobile?
Dan, first off, you're a whiny little girl, and $300. So think about it this way: for $300, you have something that's instantly ready to capture crap at a moment's notice, full stability, 4K video. I don't know if it's 60 frames or 30 frames a second. You're talking about a high-end piece of camera equipment. Now you only have a fixed focus lens. I think somebody made snap-on lenses for it, but
there are some ND filters and stuff you can get for it.
Yeah, so $300, I agree with you, is a lot of money. But look, if you're a YouTuber that's using this stuff all the time, or you're creating content with it all the time, in you know, look, not like I'm Mr. YouTube. I get like $40 a month for my YouTube channel, but if you're a bigger YouTuber and you're making content, damn right, that's worth it.
But I agree with you on that. I absolutely agree. I think, was it you, Joel, who said about one of the devices, I just use it around the house. And to me,
right.
a device that's either $100 on top of your phone or $300 in and of itself, you know, if you're saying... Well, I just use it around the house. I'm like, bravo to you, sir. I don't know what you're doing to be able to afford that kind of lifestyle. Just use that kind of shit around the house.
Well,
I'm saving a $1,500 camera for when I'm going out. I mean, like, that's...
No,
it's like...
It's just the bulk of the Osmo Mobile 2 and really the 1. The Mobile 3 is a little bit easier to deal with bulky-wise. Both of them, you know, like Rich said, there is something, a little bit of setup to do to it. It doesn't really take that long, but if you see something and you want to take it like right now, by the time you get it ready, you've lost the shot. So that's part of the issues with the mobile ones. Now the Pocket doesn't have it. Now here I do have to say something here, and I have to try it. But my Note 10 Plus has a super steady mode for video stabilization. Now, I haven't tried it yet when I'm walking, but I'm going to very shortly. And that may end up...
Hey, I'm walking here.
That may end up eclipsing the need for a gimbal.
I ask, if you are really into doing this, like YouTube or whatever it is, would you really go with a mobile... Or would you go with the Pocket? And if, you know, what would depend on your audio situation is. What do you mean what my audio situation is? I'm taking video,
If you want good audio with it, like if you're recording yourself talking and the microphone on the Pocket sucks, which actually I've heard that it actually does suck.
Well, that's...
But, yeah.
Okay, so right, like... Okay, so then maybe the Osmo is not the device to go with. But I'm saying, like,
why would you use the mobile? What's the advantage of the mobile? I mean, I can see that. If you're going to do mobile, this on a regular basis, why wouldn't you go with the Osmo first? But then why would you even consider the mobile? And if you're going like the mobile, why wouldn't you just use your phone instead of adding on $100?
So the mobile is really good. There's a bunch of different modes. It does face tracking. I even did a video where I held up a picture of myself to get the face tracking. And then I shot the video with it on a tripod. And so, because pretty much all the YouTube videos I do, I'm doing them single man. So my camera is going to be on a tripod. Or the nice thing is the face tracking. So when you walk around in the video, it's tracking you. So that gives a little bit of motion to the video, makes it a little bit more interesting. The other good thing, you know, when we talk component versus composite, back when you had component radios, you know, the rack mount radios where you had an amp, a receiver, a tuner, you know, turntable, that kind of thing. So each product has to stand at its own quality because they're getting evaluated individually. Whereas when you have something that's all smashed together, you might get a great camera, but not such good audio. You might get great convenience, but not a choice of lenses. So what you can do, one with the Osmo 1, 2, and 3, is any phone you have, you know, any Android phone or iPhone, will fit on it. And some of them, like on my Note 4, I have lenses, like a it's basically another back. So you peel off the back, you drop another back on, and you can screw on a wide-angle lens or a longer lens. So you could actually swap out the lenses if you wanted to. The other thing you can do with the Osmos, I didn't realize until like maybe a month or two ago, is you can actually move the phone out a little bit further so you can plug a cable in. Like you get a right angle USB cable so you can plug in power or the jack for maybe a wireless mic, a Bluetooth mic or something, or some other microphone. And then you put a couple of coins, tape a couple of coins on it to balance the arm if you don't have the adjustment to balance it out. Because it'll run slightly out of balance, but you're using the stepper motor to adjust it, and it's not going to like that. It really wants to be statically balanced to work properly. So there's a couple of tricks. So if you're really caring about the audio and the video quality and don't care about the setup time, the Osmos are good for that.
Yes, I agree.
The Pocket... it's super convenient. And I had the battery run out on my phone, and you know, then I just started shooting everything with my Note 8 handheld. And between stabilization on the phone and post-processing stabilization, it'll probably look pretty good. But there's some things like flashlight mode and stuff like that that are harder to, it's not impossible to do with a phone. You can do it with a phone and a selfie stick. But in flashlight mode is basically if you guys are listening to the podcast, look at a picture of the DJI Osmo. You can use it like a flashlight. You could like track really low. You could track people's feet, like if you're putting something together, cinematography, whatever. Why can't I say that word? And you know, do something a little more interesting with it. Get a different shot with it.
Now, I just looked at the settings and in my Note 10's Plus's camera. There's super steady on the back camera, but not on the front camera.
Okay, hold on a second. Like, I get what you guys are saying, right? But I, like, look at this device and I say, well, first off, if you're going to pair the mobile with a phone of equal value... you're going to get a shit experience, right? You know, this is like, all right, so I'm spending $500+ on my phone to get a decent camera. Probably.
I got a $1,000 phone. What are you talking about?
At least, I said at least, all right? I was given the benefit of the doubt. I was going to go as low as $300 there for a minute, but I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you on not getting a high enough value. But what I'm saying is you're already spending a ton of money on your phone, and... you're gonna tack on like another $100 for this? I mean, it almost seems like.
Oh yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it's like, well, if you're really into this and you're spending that much money on a phone, why aren't you spending that much money on a damn camera that does it a hell of a lot better than trying to stick your phone on a on this device. That's
so
you know,
there's all like sorts of DSLRs and mirrorless SLRs, but they're you know they can be into the $700 range that people use for YouTube vlogging and YouTube content.
Well, that's what I mean. If you're into doing this, if that's what you do, like, why wouldn't you go? If you're talking before about, you know, you want to get a decent thing and start doing the video blogging and stuff like that, why wouldn't you go with that? Why would you go with this device? Like,
you know, I think it's kind of like shoes and women, that you have different shoes for different events.
But I mean, so but that's the thing. I don't know. Are these devices really that popular? I've never seen. I think I might have seen one once. Now that I see what this is, but like I see people with selfie sticks and I see people with their phones. I don't see a lot of people doing this.
So how many YouTubers do you know?
I think one.
Oh, like I said, I have the Osmo 2, and right now basically I more or less.
You never use
given,
it.
I won't say I've given it to my niece, but my niece is the one that uses it, and she's in a band, and they shoot their music videos with it.
I want you to be my uncle, Alan.
So, well, it's no, I'm trying to get her to pay me half for it, but haven't been so lucky yet. she's stingy on that. But anyways,
you went from the coolest uncle in the world to a stingy bastard.
Wait.
You know what? I paid $150 for it when it was new, and you know I used it twice. So she could pay me $75 for it.
Stingy bastard.
But either way.
Yeah. I hear you.
She should fork over the money.
You know, once, I mean, like I said, but that's what she uses it for. You know, she has a perfectly capable phone. You know, she's got the iPhone 11, I think, right now.
Right.
So, you know, when they need to go shoot a video for their music stuff, they just mount it on there. They go, you know, do whatever they have to do with it. And then they take it off and they do it. I have the Pocket. And for me, that's more convenient because all I do is literally pull out of my pocket. I push a button and it's ready to go, and I just hit record.
Now I will say this:
if you look at those pictures that I took, the car show pictures, on my Flickr site, those were all taken with the Osmo Pro.
Right, and I want to I will say this: one other advantage you get by using like the mobile Osmo Mobile 2, Osmo Mobile 3, which are the only there's only probably going to be one available shortly because they're probably selling out of the two. But the one thing that you have – now, granted, it depends on if the app itself will take advantage of it because, like, for example, my Note 10 camera, the back camera has, I think three lenses, I think? It's got a wide, a telephoto, and I think it's got an ultra wide. Plus, it actually has a 3D sensor of some sort in the back too. You can actually haven't actually successfully done it yet, Alan, but you can actually a 3D image a object, and
I'll see.
And you might be able to export an STL out of it to 3D printed. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't gotten it to work very well anyway because it's hard. And through doing the 3D scan of the object, if it's glossy, it's a pain.
Yeah.
So, not that I bought it for that, but it's possible. So, the big whole point of that is these phones are getting incredible amounts of functionality in the built-in camera itself. You know, like I said, if I'm using the back camera, in super steady mode, I don't need to put it on a gimbal. I can just walk around with it as it is. Now, once they bring that same functionality to the front camera, I don't need a gimbal anymore. So, and that's going to come eventually. It's just how do you cram all that on a edge-to-edge screen without putting a stupid notch on it, or like in the case of the Note 10 Plus, I got a hole punch in the top of the screen where the camera's at. So, and by the way, it doesn't really bother me that much anymore. Used to at the beginning, but not anymore. So, I mean, took
maybe a day. So, but now that's, you know, the other side of that is does the Osmo Pocket have that kind of an option lens wise? It only has the one lens. What's the optical zoom on that? I don't remember.
I don't know. The optical zoom is for me to get up close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan, you're over-modulate when you get excited.
Oh. Just a little bit. But anyway, I can't imagine it's much over 2 or 3x at most. So not that I can get that on my phone, because I can't. But I'm amazed with the wide angle. Like, I can take a picture from my couch and it looks like my room is 2 or 3 times the size that it normally is. That's just what it looks like. But I haven't played around with the camera much because I really haven't gone anywhere other than home and church. So, but I'm very satisfied with the camera that's on the phone. And that's one thing that's kind of nice with the gimbals. The other thing the gimbals are great for is shooting panoramas.
They're awesome. Motion lapse is one of my favorite things. That is so cool.
Motion lapse is basically, as you're shooting a time lapse, it will move the camera for you.
And you can have, I forget how many different points that it'll move to.
I don't know what the limit is.
I know you can have at least 5 points. So you could have it, you know, pan right and then pan up. So you can set different points to it. The only thing I don't like about that is it doesn't allow you to change the zoom, at least on the Note 4.
Right. And I don't think it does on any of them. But the one thing that I wish it would do is let you program a motion and just shoot regular video. That would be awesome.
Oh, that'd
too,
be cool.
It doesn't do that. Yeah, it doesn't do that. You know, so I have it do a pan,
you know,
for you.
Facial tracking or object tracking kind of covers that. You know, it doesn't.
True.
Facial track and object tracks. So, and I'm guessing it's got to run software on the phone to do that because the gimbal can't be that smart.
Yep. In fact, like I said in the pre-show, the latest version for Android actually disables the after track for some stupid reason and I did not know that until I found it in the DJI forums. So one of the forums, and they said, download the old version and you're good. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there are a couple of really cool features that you just... It makes it stupid simple to do the motion lapse. That is like crazy simple. So I try to do at least one motion lapse or so when I do a video shoot of the thing.
They get him?
Oh, am I not talking?
Well, you cut out there for whatever.
And I also shot a hyperlapse, so that looked kind of cool, too. So a hyperlapse is where you're doing a time-lapse, but you're walking, and it's doing stabilization, so it just kind of looks like you're gliding into wherever you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say something? Because I was going to ask another question about.
No, go for it.
No, I was just looking through it, and to be honest, I think the Pocket looks pretty damn cool. It's got a bunch of different features that I find interesting. Does the Pocket do the facial tracking too? Could you do that same thing?
Yes, there's active track in it. Yep.
That is interesting.
I'm pretty sure the Pocket does everything the Osmo 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 do.
Yep. I absolutely love that, actually. The tracking is pretty sweet. Like, I'll throw mine on a... I actually 3D printed a little cup that kind of slips on the bottom of it without the tripod screw, which is very handy. And then that way I can just sit like on a kitchen counter or something, set the track on my glasses... And then as I'm talking, it keeps my head in frame. It's
pretty awesome like that.
So when you get the video, what's the format that it's in?
MP4, I believe it is.
Oh, okay.
It's standard H.263, I think.
You can just pull it right into any video editing suite.
Any video editing works fine. I've tried Kaden Live. I've tried Premiere. It all works. In fact, actually, on the when I do if you look back on my YouTube channel at the ones I did in San Diego, I did all the editing on my phone. I used CyberLink PowerDirector on Android, which is a very, it's not great. Like if you like a lot of control, like the control that Premiere or Kaden Live would get you, but just to slap together a quick vlog, it works great for that. And
playing around with Shotcut.
OpenShot's what I used to use. I haven't played around with Shotcut yet.
OpenShot I didn't like because I thought it just took way too long to produce the finished product.
I was doing
a 10-minute video of like my kid running around, and it was taking like 2 hours to do on a Windows laptop.
Wow.
I was like, okay, I'm not really doing anything major on here. I'm just,
The only thing I have
cut a couple things together, and I don't even really do heavy cuts or anything. I just basically stitch a whole bunch of things together.
The other thing I noticed too with the Shotcut is it's awfully crashy.
I have not knock on wood here had a crash yet. Not to say that I won't, but so far so good.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. And this is running like the latest version on Fedora, so. I think it's
now,
19, I think, or something like that.
The Osmo Pocket can connect to your phone via Bluetooth, correct?
No, you have to do everything with the USB.
Oh, with the cable?
Yeah.
Really? Now, you can get an extension cable for that, so it doesn't have to be connected, physically connected.
Yeah, I ended up buying an extension USB to, USB-C to USB-C connector. Although, be damned if I can find where the hell the damn thing is right now. So I ended up having to take the case off my phone and plug it in. I tried a couple versions where you had like the adapter so you can plug in like thumb drives and stuff. Supposedly that was supposed to work, but I never got any of those to work with my Nexus. Or my Pixel, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question / observation that, unless there's more to say about the Osmo.
Nope.
All right. So, this is my observation, and it's kind of a question for you guys. The Ford Focus I had, I said, had the little dial instead of as the gear shifter. And the first time I saw that was a few years ago when the Kia blew up and we had to get that rental van on the way back. And it had a dial in there. It's the first time I have ever seen that, right? It caught me by surprise. And it was intuitive, obviously, to figure out, okay, it's a dial, right? I got that. But what kind of bothered me for the longest time is that I was surprised. And almost blindsided by this, and it kind of hit me this past week, because another thing had happened, that when I was thinking about this driving around the Ford Focus, I'm like, you know what? I cut the cord about 7 years ago, right? And I think Pat even cut it before that. So I haven't really been watching any commercials. I don't read magazines.
Ah,
I don't watch any commercials. So this dial came as a surprise to me because, all the avenues that information traditionally flows down, I'm totally out of it, completely out of those avenues.
You didn't see a Facebook ad?
No, I don't go on Facebook. Yeah, I do a lot of ad blocking because they drive me freaking insane. But now even that's becoming a problem. But I never noticed that. And I'm like, I wonder what else I'm missing. And what's interesting is there's somebody I work with, he's a really smart guy, right?
He's probably in his mid to late 20s, has no idea what the World Series is.
Wow.
Had no idea. He's like, what's the World Series? I'm
sports agnostic.
What's that?
Really? I'm sports agnostic, and I even know, like, the Astros.
Yeah, but so, yeah. That even said to me, you know, I know a lot of that stuff, not because I like to watch baseball, but because, like...
You're a human?
It was always, especially when you only had, like, three channels or whatever. Like, your Saturday morning cartoons and your TV shows, like, the A-Team was always preempted or something for a baseball game, where the Simpsons were always... Like, you always had to deal with that. And it was like, you just learned, like, well, even if you didn't care about baseball, it's like, the World Series, baseball, the World Series, baseball. It's like, and I can see how somebody these days who... Parents may not have TV.
So the Astros versus the Nationals. My gosh, I paid attention.
But
growing up in New York, you couldn't miss that because it was always the Yankees winning the World Series.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yep, there was the Yankees haven't been in the World Series in a decade now.
That's crazy. Since Steinbrenner's been dead.
But in your day-to-day life, unless you are somebody who like follows baseball or something, if you've cut the cord... Or whatever. How much, you know, do you even notice baseball or any, like, some certain things that anymore?
All I know is, like, oh, it's October, World Series, yeah.
But, again, I know that largely because I was exposed 20
years ago,
to it.
You had a, right.
Yeah, but I'm, 20 years ago, you know, it's just, like the dial on the cars now. I'm like, when the hell did this come out? And how did I miss it? Like, how was I not prepared?
All I know is from Daily Driven Exotics, watching, you know, Sam Crack on YouTube and stuff like that.
One more little comment on the Osmo before I let it die. You can hook an external microphone up to it now.
Yes.
They have an adapter, so that's good.
Yeah, so you just got about another $30 adapter.
Good to know. Anyway, that makes my choices a little harder, but although I wonder if that same adapter would work with just my phone. I guess it probably would. It's USB-C. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, you know, like cars have just, well, you know, within the last, since 2012, they've just gone crazy with electronics.
I do want to mention that when it comes to audio adapters on the Note 10 Plus, you're somewhat limited.
Yeah, probably. I haven't tried the one I've been using on my Pixel 2 to see if it works. I've just been using the wired headphones. The set of wired headphones that came with it have been working great for me. They're actually an AKG brand, believe it or not.
Yeah, I have a set.
And they're great for what I use them for, usually at night when I'm in bed. That way I don't have to... You know, my Bluetooth one. Although one thing I noticed with my phone there, Joe, is that the alarm doesn't ring in the headphones.
Really?
Yep. It only rings on the external. Yeah, I bet you. Well, I haven't tried that on Bluetooth. I'll have to do a test later. But so that's the one thing I noticed. So like this morning, I wasn't late, but I did sleep through my alarm.
Why the hell are you sleeping with your headphones on anyways?
I just
to
do.
Help wake up.
Yeah. But, well, and one thing, when at least with my Pixel 2, when I would sleep with them on, I could set my alarm for a certain time if it was much earlier than my wife likes to get up. I don't disturb her. At least that was the case on the Pixel 2, because it would ring only on my earbuds. So
no, it'll ring over both.
Yeah, but I'll have to play around with the Bluetooth and the alarm, but it doesn't bug my wife too much. You know, a lot of times she'll slap my arm or something and say, "Get up," or "Stop that thing." But
I don't know, I guess because my alarm doesn't stay ringing for very long. I don't know. No one's ever complained about it to me.
Anyway, but the nice thing is I already have a lav,
that I can use with that. So all I need is the adapter. Which is a good thing. Good thing. I need to pick up the USB dock for Dex mode. It's pretty nifty.
Yeah, I sent you a couple of them that I know work a couple of weeks back.
Yep, I got them. I just haven't ordered one yet. So, I might when I get paid, probably.
Wait, doesn't your son have a dock?
He does not.
I thought you got him one when he got his S9.
No, we never got him a dock for the S9. We might have got him a wireless charge pad. So, I actually been looking at those because I'd like to have like a wireless charge pad like in my office, and then just have the regular charger elsewhere. But I haven't been able to find most of the cheap chargers only support 10 watts, which will work. It'll just charge the phone a lot slower. So the only one that I've discovered that does the 15 watt wireless charging is Samsung's. So, but anywho. I have to look and see what other options there are. I like the one. There's two of them. One of the docks I looked at has Ethernet built into it. I think that might be the one I go with. Not that I just because you know just because I liked it. mostly not because of the Ethernet itself, but just the format it is. I like the format a little bit better. Although I really like that screen that was on the portable setup that I shared that video with you, Joe. That thing looks phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a nice looking screen.
And it's thin enough I could put like a put it. I can probably slip it in my laptop bag with my corporate laptop and just use that. Or I can cheap out and just get the little adapters that are like $13. Although I really would like to have a USB on it as well.
There, I just dropped a dock in the chat that I think looks interesting.
I don't want to pay what Samsung wants, like $80 for theirs. I'm not going to pay that.
Oh, that one was $30 that I just dropped in there.
All right, that's nice. Dex is pretty flippin' awesome. What I've used of it thus far. Other thing I did too, Joe, with my phone. I don't know if the older notes had the ability, but the Note 10 Plus out of the box can connect to the Microsoft what they call it phone, I think. No, your phone is the name of the Windows app, and you basically over wireless you can actually control your phone with the Windows Your Phone app.
Oh, I thought it was just over wired. And
nope,
it's
wireless.
I don't have any Windows devices regularly running to test on.
Yep. I don't know if you can. I don't know what kind of protocol it uses. It'd be interesting to figure out. I also switched. What do you use for text messaging?
Google Message.
Google Message, okay. Yeah, the Google Message you can connect up to your browser to do text messages in with a keyboard, like a full text keyboard. You can do the same thing with this Your Phone app as well. But the other, like I said, the other side of that is you can actually control the phone over the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but
it's slow.
I assume to do that, your phone actually has to be on. Well, one of the reasons I like, you know, having the Google Voice number and, well, I guess Hangouts, you can do it from there, is not having my phone, you know, be completely dead or whatever and still being able to send messages.
Well, that's interesting. I never really want to do that, but, but yeah.
I have a question about this dock.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you plug a non-Samsung Galaxy Note 9 phone into it?
That particular dock is a USB-C dock. I mean, it's not actually made by Samsung or anything.
Yeah, that's
so
what I mean.
So I don't think it would go into DeX mode since that's Samsung specific, but you should still be able to use the display, HDMI output, the USB 3 connections, the power.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Could you like connect it up to a TV and have it displaying on the TV and use a keyboard and a mouse and everything on that?
It wouldn't have the desktop mode.
Correct.
That's the only thing it would be missing. It'd just be like hooking up a display to your phone, and it would mirror.
Okay, right. Okay.
You know what? That one's super interesting because it's got a full-size SD card slot and the micro SD slot. That is super interesting.
But when you say the DeX station, if it's going to go into DeX mode, is there anything special about this station that does that? I know it contributes to that.
No, it's actually just the phone that does it.
Would it do the same thing with anything?
It's the phone software.
If you hook up an external display and a keyboard and mouse, it goes into this desktop mode.
Okay, I got it. Now, can you get a desktop mode for? Does anybody have a desktop mode available for non-Samsung phones that you could either?
There are apps out there now.
There was one.
I thought
there was one, and you know the one. You know the one I'm talking about too.
I don't want to hear about the Jide, man. No, that was perfect, right?
Well, there are actually a couple, but recently somebody came out with an app that does the exact same thing for non-Samsung phones. But other than that, there's Maru OS, which it actually gives you full Linux. What, UBI ports? But that doesn't do the whole Android and Linux. That's just Linux.
Correct.
Yes. You know, it's interesting because I'm like, well, what would my phone do if I plugged an SD card in and a micro SD card and put this in the dock and all of a sudden I'd have two other things of storage? How would I handle that?
Let's see if I can find this app.
See, the way that dock would work, at least the storage would just show up on your phone if the formats of the cards are proper.
Or it would ask you to format them, I guess.
It's called Centio.
Centio, okay, that's interesting.
The name of the app you're using?
No, the alternative to DeX.
Oh. Wait, does Samsung make that too?
No.
No.
But it only works on the notes?
No, it works on Android phones. I posted a link.
Yeah, okay. All right. I get what you're saying.
Are you talking Cynthia, the actual device thing?
Well, it says it's an app. I'm reading it right now.
Using it.
It looks like they're actually selling. They're going to be selling here. Let me pop the link in the IRC. But it looks like they're actually working on like a laptop style dock, kind of like the what was the one that did it? The Motorola one.
Right. Lapdock. Okay, it's available for download for free from the Google Play Store, and is compatible with any Android smartphone in circulation running Android 7.0 or later. Centio Desktop supports millions of Android apps, including popular tools like Chrome, Office, and others. Aims to emulate Windows-like experience on Android, which includes multi-window applications, desktop icons, a file explorer, and other similar features for maximum productivity.
When I plopped in the URC, the actual Centio website, and look, the Superbook thing looks pretty flippin' interesting.
Wait, so what do you connect this thing to?
when you're running
Sentia? Probably HDMI and a keyboard.
Oh, yeah, because the only thing they show, I'm like, wait, does it connect to a laptop? I'm like, how are they doing this? That's their
right. That's their Sentia Superbook 139. Show. Yeah, it's 139 currently. That's pre-order pricing. It's open for pre-order, and you connect your phone via a USB cable. 11.6 HD display.
Look at that, Sentia desktop app. Why get the dock when you can get the whole damn thing right here for? Wait, that's $100 more. Well, there you go.
Right.
Yeah, the dock.
Right. It's not
the
free.
Dock's like $30. Docks. No, I meant like here. You don't need a dock because it's got it all in there. It's got the keyboard, the trackpad, and the display all ready to go for you.
Now for $199. The screen because the 139 one only has a 768p display and a TN one. It's not a IPS. And for 199, you get a 1080p IPS display and a backlit keyboard.
You know what I'm thinking when I look at this device, right? Now I'm back to, well, why can't we get a shell to put a Raspberry Pi or an Odroid in like this right here? Like, why can't you do something like what?
Don't they have those?
No, they don't. Go looking around for them. They really don't. Like, we went through that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Like, how can we, like the Pinebook, like, how hard is it to make a Pinebook? It shouldn't be that hard, but you go looking, it's not happening.
Well, the Pine Pro is $200.
Right. But no, I mean, but what I'm saying is, like, here's another device. This is just a key. This is, it's a shell. All it is a laptop shell. No computer inside. It's just a keyboard, whatever, and a display in that. And you hook the phone up to it, right? So there is some kind of controller in there for all that. But I'm like, why, like, how come it's still so hard to get these components that you could build your own laptop, you know what I mean? Like we talked about before.
Isn't there a Pi Top? Before.
There is a Pi Top and it costs $400.
That seems kind of pointless then.
Yep.
Anyway, that looks pretty neat. Tell us how it works out, Joe.
Why would I use Sentia when I have
books. Yeah, I was going to say.
So you can tell us how it works out. Because you've been.
Well, I don't think I can have both.
What?
I don't think I can have both on my phone and make them both work.
That's a good question. I don't know if it could anyway. But here's the other side of that coin, too, though. I clicked on the $199 version on the Sentia website and said it was sold out for shipping in last year, April. So. This sounds almost like a Kickstarter.
Which one, the Sentia?
Yeah.
But it was a Kickstarter.
Yeah, it says latest batch sold out. Order today for April 2018 delivery. It's 2019, folks. Almost 2020.
Oh. Joe, how many hands do you have, Joe?
How many what?
How many hands do you have?
Hands?
Yeah.
Two.
You got two. How many notes do you have?
One.
You tell your wife your other hand is lonely and you need to test out this Sentia.
That never
and
works.
She'll be like, absolutely. I'm going to go down the line with another one right now. That never works.
No, see,
I mentioned
really,
hands.
Joe,
I'm likely to get slapped.
Yeah, and Joe really would like to have a Galaxy Fold, right?
You're gonna need another one of those too.
No,
you have
no,
two hands.
No,
you need two Galaxy Folds.
No, the Fold.
I don't want the Galaxy Fold on the first generation.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wait till like third generation. And
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Actually, that Sentia Superbook actually works with select Raspberry Pi devices too. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Hey, guys, I got to get going, so.
All right, Alan, have a good one.
Alan's a pumpkin. Right. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Hey, yep. Thanks
for listening,
Alan.
Alan.
Don't forget Ubuntu 1910.
That's right. It's out.
Yeah, there you go.
Good good little short thing to have on that. I actually downloaded the latest ISO, and I tried a VM, and I tried installing with ZFS, and it worked great.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good
Talk
one,
to you
Alan.
Next week.
I just haven't tried the snapshot features of ZFS yet. Haven't had time to. But I did get the installation done, and it worked great, actually. It worked just like it did with the XT4. Now, it is weird, though.
Well, wait, you didn't try any of the extra stuff, did you?
Not yet.
You didn't try to delete something and then recover it yet?
I didn't try that yet.
Oh, okay.
I will. But
good.
The one thing that is kind of unique in you looking at this, if you look at this, like, say, within Gparted, it acts a lot like LVM does. It'll show your disk formatted kind of like a logical volume. But then if you look at underneath of it, the underlying file systems on top of ZFS actually are EXT4. At least that's what it looks like with Gparted. So, like I said, I'll have to try the actual features of the file system, because those are the things that are really going to be worth it. Even on a desktop, I'm going to say this. Definitely on a server, even on a desktop, because I keep thinking back to all those times when I was working at the college where somebody deleted something on their desktop and wanted it back. Which happens all too often. But so I'll have to test that out. Other than that, I like it. I haven't updated this laptop yet. It's still on 19.4. So I just have to run the update manager D command.
Now, have you noticed anything? So aside from the ZFS stuff, has anything else stood out from you running the latest version?
Not really.
Isn't there like you could select a light or dark theme?
No? I think.
Did you try that out?
I haven't yet.
Okay. But I gotta update my one machine over here.
Yeah. I will say this: I am still kind of mixed on whether I'm pro dark theme or not. Like my Note 10 itself has a dark mode, but if I'm using
Samsung
phones.
I think dark theme is so lame; it's ridiculous. And people
lose their
mind over it.
Right, it depends. Well, there are people that just go, "This is dark mode." You know, I'm not like that. I'm like, oh, that kind of makes it look cool. You know, that's kind of how my feeling is about it. I'll say, do I prefer it over a lighter theme? It depends. Sometimes I prefer it. Sometimes I don't. But Samsung phones all have, through the Samsung Galaxy Store, you can download themes. And, like, for example, I've got, like, a fall theme on my phone now. And with the fall theme on it, I cannot use dark mode until I switch to a theme that supports dark mode, which most of the themes apparently do not. but when I'm giving a choice to use dark mode or not in the apps, I do tend to use dark mode. But it's not one of those things that I am like, ooh, I'm not. There's some of these phone retards that are like, dark mode, and I'm like, yeah, so it's just a theme. In fact, that's the way phones used to look.
VMware came out with dark mode, and there were a number of us. I'm probably the youngest person in the group, and I forget what it was called, but they're soliciting feedback. I said you need old people mode, where the print's bigger, so we can actually freaking read it. They're doing gray text on a gray background. It's like, really?
No.
How about white text on a black background? How about a
thank you
mode?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's wrong with people with small text, gray text on a gray background.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, really?
Well, do you
feel artsy?
Did you ever do Borland's Turbo Pascal or Turbo C with their compiler?
Long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. That's old shit. But they used on purpose. This actually, I actually know this. They actually used the blue with yellow versus right, any kind right. of other, and that's because the contrast is high and you can read it.
So back in the day with two monitors like burning your retinas, I was doing soft development. It was all white background, and I would turn that to like a darker gray or near a black or something like that, just because it was like the CRTs were pretty abusive on your eyes.
Contrast is important. That actually goes towards when I do a church service, when I'm setting up the slides and I'm choosing backgrounds for the lyrics, I tend to choose darker backgrounds just because that lets the lyrics pop a bit more and you can read them easier. It's better than doing a light background with black text, for sure. And I gotta be sensitive of that because, let's face it, there is a segment of the congregation that are older than I am. If my eyes are crap, their eyes are worse. Contrast matters.
Yeah, there are things. All right, so this is like old person rant part of the show. It's like, why when you
get off my lawn?
Right. Why when you have like all sorts of real estate, you got to make the directions in 2-point type on like some sort of Pepto-Bismol bottle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like 4 hairs width high. It's like shake well. I'm like, really? What human can read that?
Is it like pink on white or red red on blue or blue on red? Or,
red on
well,
pink.
My other favorite is the best by date. It's not technically not an expiration date. It's a best by date. And you can't read that. There's no person like what
or raised small raised text on the back of a stereo component or something. Oh my freaking god, I can't see that.
Okay, I got a Progresso can up here, and it's printed on the dent. The bottom isn't flat, it's got some ridges on it. And so it's 27th of July, 2021. But you gotta like tilt it 3 different ways to read the whole thing.
That means you just need to throw it out. You can't read it, throw it out.
When in doubt, throw it out, right?
That's it, right?
Michelle Obama said you can eat it a couple years past the Best Buy date. I just wonder if they're doing that in their Martha's Vineyard mansion on the water they bought because the seas are rising.
Richard Hughes, the next Steve, 1989.
You gonna, no, I hear you, man. Did you ever try to read the back of shampoo bottles?
Mm-hmm.
That's another fun one.
Or the text on the micro SD card of I just pulled out of my Surface that's going to go back in the dash cam.
You know, it's so tough labeling micro SD cards. I'm so sick of that.
You can't. That's actually one of my favorite 3D prints that I have is my stolen idea. I had those ones that I slapped on top of each other where I had the full-size SD card reader. And then I on the lid of the full size, I put the micro SD card reader. Well, I just basically pulled up Fusion 360 and designed my own that has slots for micro SD and full size in the same container. Although I screwed up on one side and the slots are not slots, they're just a hole. But I don't care, I use it anyway.
Hole is just the hole, right?
Well, actually, technically on that side, I could put more than I have on the other side because there's no slots to tell me I can only have 5 in there.
Any hole will do, right?
That's what she said. Storm.
Stick it right in.
Ba-dum-bum.
We gotta get this show closing up.
You got 2 shows to close out.
I know, I gotta...
Yeah. Y'all are gonna get us twice, whether you want to or not. If you're subscribed, please subscribe. Please.
You should check how many people we have subscribed.
And unlike other Linux shows, I want to say we're very much like Linux for the rest of us, and we don't show for nobody. unless we really like them and other Linux they want to really pay
we
us.
We mentioned Linux once in this episode. Yes. And that was hooray Ubuntu.
Ubuntu 10.18.10, which everyone talked about 2 weeks ago. No, I'm kidding.
It wasn't officially released last week.
It was out last week. We didn't talk about it last week. Yeah.
All right. Oh my goodness. Gotta get this device going here, right? Anything for you have to say, Joe?
Nope.
No, wait, is this Linux Lugcast this week?
No.
Next week.
It's the first.
First and third.
Yeah. And for a good preview of the Ohio Linux Fest, check out the Sunday Morning Linux Review, where they had Bethlen Eicher and I believe it's her mother, Susan Rose, I believe is her name. But they were both on the show and they talked about the show. A lot of good keynotes. I guess Ricky Ensley's got a keynote this year. Quite a few other good ones. Oh, and Mad Dog is again at Ohio Linux Fest. He hasn't been there for a couple years now, but he's got a keynote or two this year. So make sure you show up.
Oh, wait. That's this weekend?
Next weekend.
Oh, next weekend.
November 1st and 2nd.
So don't forget, next weekend is the first Friday of the month for a Linux podcast. Right, Joe?
That is correct.
Last week. I keep forgetting that we're in the fourth week, not the third week of October.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I just issued the update manager -d command on my laptop here.
There we go. All right, thank you, everybody. Here are your promos. Enjoy.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. I just checked eBay there, Joe. There are 2 Centio Superbooks on eBay currently.
Cool.
One is a buy it now and $100 for the Superbook plus a case and some adapters. The other one is OpenBox.
It hasn't reviewed very well.
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, it looks like the hope of actually buying a brand new one is probably gone at this point already. Kind of wish I remembered about or knew about that before.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, Joel, say goodnight to the audience. I'm going to stop this recording.
Nighty night.
Is that little tiny, USB-C connection.
Right.
And, it's not stable for me.
Right.
Well, honestly, the only time I'd really want to connect to the phone is when I want to get crap off of it. You know,
and, so, that's the only we have to do it because, like, if you know, if you do any of like the stitching stuff that it does, you can't just drag the photos off because it does the conversion in the actual program the phone. Yeah.
See, I got the Osmo 2. Joel, you have the Osmo 2?
I do. I do, and I like it. I had to downgrade the DJI Go to the older version because the new version, I found out by re-scrolling the DJI forums that they disabled Active Track in the latest version. So if you downgrade versions, it works fine. Now, what I found is I downgraded the version, and it actually is not automatically upgrading me to the newer version that doesn't work. So it's been fine since.
Oh, I didn't know that because the Active Track works on mine. I don't know that I got to check what version I'm on.
Yeah, it's like 3.1.58, which is the latest version. Don't upgrade to that. If you have, just find the APK for the old one, and you're going to be good because they're gonna reactivate it in the next version again. So like when 3.1.59 hits Android, it should be okay.
I run it off the Note 4 and that it won't upgrade.
That might be true too. But then I'm either going to get a Pocket Osmo or I'm going to get an Osmo Mobile 3, one of the two, because
I have the two.
Right.
And my only problem with that was the fact that, like, because you're using your camera, you're using your phone as a camera. It's like if you're like when we were down at Self, I had it then, and you know when we took off and we went over to the aquarium with my son, I was constantly having to like start my phone. Okay, now I got to go. That you can't just get it to go.
And pull it in and out of the mount too. So yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, by the time you're ready to get a picture going on that, it's the moment is gone. Right now, my niece has it. She's doing her music videos and stuff with it. But
the pocket is
a lot nicer.
I was gonna say it's fine for around the house, but the pocket is something because I travel every once in a while. I'm gonna go down to Florida in December, and I don't really want to. I want to take my drone. But the problem is the drone and the
isn't
Kindle.
That redundant?
Wait.
No,
Hold on a second.
You're taking a drone. It's a drone taking a drone.
Dan's saying stop this so we can actually start the show and we can actually record this.
Hold on a second. Because I got so much to say about this. I'm looking at this and I'm like, well, wait a second. I don't want
to
start saying
what happened
anything.
To last week's show?
I just pulled the files down today.
What?
So they're going to get a twofer this week.
Yeah, you're going to get two of them this week. Sorry.
That's like two fists.
I've been a little busy with other things. I apologize.
Yes.
Not
life is hard. Drink a beer.
That's like I just finished writing a review for GearDiary.com on the dash cam I got back in August.
I'm not that lazy, but...
You know what? It's a good thing I waited because when it got cold, the suction cup for the dash cam made the cam fall off when it got colder out.
Lick it and stick it, man.
There's no reason to read the review now, huh?
Yeah, we know what goes on.
It's garbage.
Or not? Doesn't suck so well.
Well, yeah,
it's not a piece of garbage. It's just actually the other complaint I have about it is the rear camera had this big old long cable that goes all the way to the back.
Okay,
and
wait
I'd rather
a
have a wireless cam.
We haven't even started the show yet. Yeah. Hold on.
Freaking go. 1, 2, 3, go.
831. Let me just double check. Make sure I know who's here.
You sure it's 831? I don't think it's 831.
Yeah, and this the one that you
it's
gave
838.
The file for. 830. What?
Yeah.
Last week was 8:30.
This is 8:31.
Right.
What happened to 8:29? I don't have 8:29 on my list.
What do you mean you don't have it? It's there.
I have 2 8:28s on my list.
I don't know how you have 2 8:28s.
Probably because he messed up the code. Yeah. I don't know. He hand codes his RSS still.
Yeah. There's 2 8:28s on the. What podcast app is this? Podcast Addict.
It's probably the right file. He probably just has the RSS feed messed up.
Right. Yep, I bet.
Let me see here. Oh, I know what the problem is. Really? It messes it up like that? I mean, so I didn't change the title in the RSS feed. It says episode 828, mm-hmm. and today's 829. But the actual enclosure is to 829. So I guess, I mean, you should have the right file. It's just the title in the RSS feed is wrong. I'll fix that when...
Oh, yeah. It looks like it's a different file.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah. All right.
As I'm drinking my Power Beats. Not Super Beats. I couldn't afford Dana's stuff.
But Dana's cute. You gotta buy Super Beats.
All right.
She is cute.
Do you know what I really like? Is Worm Castings. Worm Castings is, like, really good. At least for my dragon fruit.